was born blind. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. And while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, put it on the man's eyes, and said, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the man went and washed, and he came home seeing. Well, in this particular passage, very simple, we encounter a blind man, blind from birth, and as was cultural and religious philosophy of the time, he would be considered cursed by God. He had done something either before he was ever born, or his parents had done something before he was ever born to upset God. You were cursed of God if you were blind. You were cursed of God if you were poor. You were cursed of God if you were a leper. God was angry with you or something about you and your heritage or your family. And here comes the first mistake, judgment. Judgment. And the judgments come from the disciples. The disciples pass judgment. We love to pass judgment, don't we? We just love to pass judgment. We know what God is doing in just about every situation and circumstance. We know why that man is blind. We know why you have cancer. We know why God is punishing you. After all, you're a wretched sinner. And the disciples want to have a discussion with Jesus about this. They want to debate it. They want to have a little dialogue. They have always understood things a certain way, that God was punishing people, those that had calamities. That's what they understood to be the truth of God. That's how they were raised, and that's how they were taught. The truth that they understood was about to be crushed. How many people walking into the church believing that God is out to get them? How many people walking into church are, God is out to punish you? I don't go to church because all I hear is the negativity about how God hates me. God wants to send me to hell. God is punishing those that have disease or have tragedy in their lives. We pass judgment quick. On ourselves, we'll pass judgment quick. And on others, we will pass judgment quick. And watch, the whole time, you're passing judgment on God. After all, we know what God's doing. We have discernment, just like those disciples did. Never even beginning to realize that our discernment is slanted. It's biased. It's prejudice. It's cultural. And it's social. And it's worldly. We don't really know a thing about this blind guy. We know his parents are living. We'll get into some of that in the scriptures. And his entire life, he's been plagued with blindness. Since he was born, he's been blind. And everyone knows it. And there's an opportunity about to fall on him. An opportunity of biblical proportions. While everyone around him is making mistakes, he gains his sight. He discovers the real God, the Messiah, the Christ. He discovers real mercy and real grace. He discovers real compassion and real love from God himself. This is not a God that has been taught. This is not a God many are even beginning to understand or are familiar with. And Jesus himself spits on the ground, makes some mud, puts it on his eyes and says, go wash it off. Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, that's absurd. Disgusting, even. Could we go that far? Maybe disturbing, even. We know God doesn't work like that. God's not going to do something gross. God's not going to do something absurd. We know that this isn't God. And the Pharisees will tell us in a few passages in a moment, it was a Sabbath day. We know that this isn't God because he's working on a Sabbath. He's working on the Sabbath. So we know it's not. He's a sinner. He's not following God. We know this to be true. Do you think God operates in ways that are absolutely ridiculous? Do you think God deals and does the absurd? Do you have God all wrapped up in a nice little box in which you can comprehend? And that's the limitations of God? All that you can understand? After all, you know what he does and how he does it. And that's the mistake. That's the mistake. The judgment. The quick assessment of God. How many stories have we heard over the years that someone's personal tragedy is the best thing that ever happened to them? A motorcycle accidents that bring families closer together than they'd ever known. Cancer that draws someone to Jesus and salvation. Prison that leads someone into sobriety and into salvation. What you consider tragic, others consider the best thing that ever happened to them. Man, are we quick to pass judgment. Over and over again, we see God doing amazing things in the absurd. We see God doing amazing things that just seem absolutely ridiculous. We see God doing amazing things that are absolutely illogical. They don't make sense. Mercy doesn't make sense. It's certainly not fair. Over and over again, we see God doing amazing things that are even irrational. Oh, that's a miracle. Absolutely irrational. Over and over again, we are quick to judge, discuss, debate, diagnose, have a dialogue. Let's discuss about the movement of God and how this is possible or not a movement of God. Even his neighbors, there's your next verses, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? And some claimed that it was. Others said, no, it couldn't be. It just looks like him. And the man himself says, no, I am the guy. I am the guy that used to sit and beg. I am that guy. And all the neighbors had skepticism. Their mistake. They're skeptical. Even your own testimony, others are going to think skeptical. Andrew, even your own testimony, others are going to think skeptical. They have to be quick to judge. Pass judgment on your testimony. Just like they did with the blind man. These neighbors couldn't believe what they were seeing with their own eyes. Who was blind? Who was really blind? How many have seen God work in crazy ways to your own amazement that you could barely believe it yourself? Just saw God do something amazing. It's like, that has to be of God. The Lord has intervened in my life in more ways than I can even begin to count. Touched my soul, shaped my soul, gave me insight, gave me knowledge, showed favor upon me, covered financial burdens, healed my body, protected me. God has shown me spiritual revelations that they go beyond description. Unimaginable. I can't explain them to you. They're indescribable. And if I could explain them to you, they probably aren't spiritual in nature. from the simplest of things God has done, from just impeding traffic to make me slow down, that I avoid a major accident. Cursing God the whole time. I'm in a hurry, Lord. I got to get somewhere. Come on. And another car in front of me makes me slow down just so that my eyes can witness an accident. Had I done what I wanted to do, there I'd be. How many times has God protected you like that? And you don't even see it. You don't even recognize it. I praise him that I can see it. I give testimony. People are skeptical. Angels in the sanctuary covering me, protecting me, while angels are fighting over and above me for my soul. I give testimony. People are skeptical. You're going to give testimony. People are going to be skeptical. That's the tragic mistake that people make. They doubt your experiences are real. And they are cynical of you and cynical of God. After all, God wouldn't show something like that to you. He wouldn't reveal something like that to you. I'm skeptical and cynical. Many will judge and be doubtful based on their own past, their own misunderstandings, their own past misfortunes. They carry all this baggage, it doesn't always have to be baggage. It can be the knowledge, but their knowledge is biased and it's slanted and it's perverted in many ways. And they bring it all into a circumstance and hear your glorious testimony and go, are you really that guy that was blind? I know you. And they'll be skeptical. They bring their own religious views into your circumstance. Are you adopting and adapting other people's views of God into your experiences? Or do you have a relationship with God? Do you have a relationship with God? Do you have a relationship with God? Do you have a relationship with God that is personal, that is in depth, that experiences him? Some more verses they brought to the Pharisees. So now they're going to bring to the religious leaders. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had put mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed it, and now I see. And some of the disciples said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. We know that this man is not from God. We know how God operates. God does not work on the Sabbath. So we know he's a sinner. But others asked, now other leaders, other religious leaders gathered there. How can a sinner perform such signs? And they were divided. They were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. And the man replied, he's a prophet? He's a prophet. Must be a prophet. The Pharisees, they had their traditions. Traditions can be a grave mistake to the movement of God, to something new that he wants to do. The law has been established. We follow the law of Moses. The ways of the Lord are structured. They are orderly. We have the order of prosperity. We have power. We have authority. We serve a God of order and rule and design. We will interpret scriptures for you. We will tell you where to worship. We will tell you when to worship. And we will tell you how to worship. We know what's proper before God. We know what's proper and acceptable before God. We know the law of Moses, and we've been doing this for centuries. We know. We know what God is doing, and there is no way God would do that. There is no way God would spit on the ground, make mud, and put it in your eyes, especially on a Sabbath. There is no way that God would touch a lowly loser like you, blind man. There is no way that he would ever defile himself by touching a leper. We know that this man is a sinner. He cannot be from God. We know God. We know all about God. We certainly know that he would never sit in the house of a sinner or speak to a harlot. How many are making the mistake of their traditions and their doctrine and their policies, holding on to the letter of the law, but you miss its intent? And what is the intent? To draw people to God. To draw people to God. Not to put up barriers. Not to put up a wall. Not to put up more things that you're going to have to do to try to get access to God. No, no, no. What's the point? To draw people closer to God, not hold them away. Churches divide over stuff like this, over their traditions. Churches divide over music styles. Churches divide over biblical versions. Is it the King James Version only, church, or you're going to burn? Okay. Baptism styles. Well, he's going to have to go through a 12-week course before he ever gets baptized. Are you kidding me? Really? Symbolism? Oh, it is the blood of Christ. No, it represents the blood of Christ. It is the body of Christ. No, it represents the body of Christ. Policies, traditions, guidelines, all subject to interpretation. And listen, are you ready? Are you ready? Here's your next slide. Somehow, Jesus was able to accomplish all he did without a single denomination to help him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You know, I'm talking about Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. It will always be about Jesus. It's not about your doctrine, your policy, and your denomination. It's about Jesus. That's what your denomination should be about. Jesus. There's the mistakes of judgment and skepticism and tradition. They keep us blind to the movement of God. They keep us trapped. They put God in a box. We know that he would never do that. He just did it. Blind man that can now see. He would never touch someone lowly like me, loser. He would never touch anybody in prison. They're defiled, criminal. God's doing something amazing, amazing, that will rock your world and change your mind about who he is and how he loves his people. Continuing on, they still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. You can kind of read that a little small. "Is this your son?" they asked the parents. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can now see?" The Pharisees asking the parents. "Well, we know he's our son. We know that much for sure. And we know he was born blind. Absolutely born blind. But how he can see now? I don't know. Who opened his eyes? We don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He can speak for himself." The scriptures go on to say why they said that. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already, the Jewish leaders, had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. You will be excommunicated. And that is why his parents said, he's of age. Ask him. We got nothing to do with that. Parents' mistake? The parents' mistake? Fear. Just had fear. That's fear. The scriptures tell us plainly. We don't even have to summarize or figure that out. It tells us. They did not want to be thrown out of the synagogue. The Jewish leaders had all the influence. They had all the power. They had all the authority. Fear will keep you in line. Fear will keep you in check. Fear of losing friends, colleagues, privilege, fear of losing money. Don't look at me. Ask that guy. Fear blinds us. Fear blinds us to the real truth. And isn't there something missing here? Where's the rejoicing that the sun can now see? I don't see it here. Where's the celebration, the healing of their child? I don't see it here. The fear and influence of the religious leaders is so strong, it squashes any sense of joy. How many times have you walked into a church so holy, there's no joyfulness? So righteous before God, there's no laughter. We got God all figured out, and we got him in his body. There's no way God allows laughter in the church. Not on a Sabbath. There's not joy. Where's the celebration? And it's all social fear. Are you being influenced by social fear? Oh, just turn on the TV, baby. There's just nothing but fear for you. Economic fear, anybody? Cultural fears, religious fears, fear of being an outcast, fear of being excommunicated. What will people say? And all that fear, what his parents feared the most, was exactly what's going to happen to their child. He didn't really seem to care. He's not interested in the Pharisees' authority. He even challenges it. He mocks it. A second time, they ask the blind man to come back. The religious leaders, a second time, the scriptures go on. They summoned the man who had been blind, and they challenge him. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. You can give glory to God by telling us the truth. Just deny this Jesus. Ooh, there's a trick, a slip of the tongue, a little deceitfulness. We know. All about God. And we know this man's a sinner. And the blind man replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. This man has a growing faith. This man had been blind, but he was definitely not stupid. I told you once before, he would say in the past, didn't you listen? Do you want to be his disciples too? He knows what's coming. He knows what he just said, and he knows what's coming. And they hurled insults at him. And guess what they did? They tossed him out. Get out, you're excommunicated. Listen, was he ever in?
No.
You're throwing me out from what? What did they ever do but tell him he was plagued by God? What did they ever do but tell him he was punished by God? That he was good for nothing? That he was a wretched sinner? That his parents must have, you did something long before you were ever even born. Your parents did something. What did they ever do for him? There's zero praise for this miracle. There's zero thanks for the healing of this man's eyes. There's no celebration for the movement of God. None. From nobody. There's discussion. There's debate. There's dialogue. There's judgment. Lots of skepticism. There's traditions that will follow. And there's lots of fear. But this one man has a growing faith. You can't argue his miracle away. You can't debate his experience into nothingness. I know you can't explain it. Why do you need to? I know you don't understand it. Why do you need to? I know it challenges everything you think you know about God. I get it. It breaks your tradition, and you're afraid. You're afraid of the unknown. You're afraid of a real spiritual movement. I get it. It breaks the rule of the Sabbath, and it shatters and crushes everything you understood or thought you understood about God. I get it. It's hard to believe. I get it. You don't really understand spiritual effects. You need your own experience. You need your own encounter. You need your own testimony. And there's just this one other mistake that is made here by these Pharisees. I think it's the last one. It's they're unteachable. They're unteachable. Listen, not unreachable. Because many of them would divide. But unteachable. Unwilling to learn anything new about God. Unwilling to learn that God just might be doing something new and amazing in their lives. Reaching out and touching hearts. Challenging people in new and vibrant ways. I know what it is to try to bring something new into a church when I'm a young man trying to bring something into the church and everyone divides. They don't know what to do with me. And it divides the church. Leadership has debates and discussions and people leave the church. I've been stuck in that corner all by myself, challenged, ridiculed, questioning my motives, questioning my calling from God. All I know is what God is asking me to do, and I will do it. If you have a problem with that, take it up with God. I know it looks different than anything you've ever experienced. I know you're skeptical. I know you want to pass judgment on the movement of God in my life. But I'm walking in the truth of who God is and what he has done in my life. What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you teachable? Or do you get influenced by all those that stand hard on their tradition and doctrine? Or do you stand hard on all those that are skeptical? Well, yeah, maybe I should be a little bit more skeptical about what God's trying to do in my life. And the doubt. And the enemy starts to throw the darts. And you start to doubt. And listen, because if you're not teachable, this last passage brings it all into perspective. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had thrown this man out. Jesus heard they threw this man out. Jesus went and found him, and he said to him, do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me that I might believe in him. And Jesus said, you now see him. You never saw anybody before. But now you see him. In fact, he's the one speaking to you, and he recognizes his voice. He's the one speaking to you, and you have now seen him. And the man says, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped. He worshiped him. He worshiped him. And watch. And Jesus said, while he's being worshiped, for judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. And some Pharisees who overheard him say this asked, what are we blind to? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains. Jesus cares, people. Jesus absolutely cares. And he seeks and finds this man out. What an absolute delight for this guy. He didn't know who he was. He didn't know who put the mud on his eye. Jesus comes to recognize him and to see him. And he worships him. And Jesus accepts his worship. He receives it. He receives it. There's nobody else around Jesus that's going to worship him and honor him or celebrate this man's healing. There's not one, not even his own parents. Just this one guy. Jesus did for one guy to bring honor and glory to God. This one man, not even the disciples, not the religious leaders, not the parents, not the neighbors, this one man, Jesus would do it for this one man, and he did. And Jesus would do it for you. No one else around you might be praising God. But one guy's going to worship. I know what Jesus did for me. Everyone is in a different place in their understanding of God. And this man, touched by God. And he worshiped him. Watch. Right in front of the Pharisees. Right in front of the Pharisees. This man's been grilled. His parents have been grilled. His neighbors are skeptical. The Pharisees want him to, lie, believe that he's not a man of God. And he worships him. And Jesus accepts the worship. And Jesus says loud enough so that the other leaders around him can hear, for judgment I have come into this world. What kind of judgment? Well, that the blind will see. And those that say they can see will become blind. And with all the self-righteous arrogance, self-righteous arrogance and egotistical replies that can be had from a religious leader in his own self-righteous. What, are we blind too? Can't you hear it? What are we blind to? They know God after all. They're the leaders after all. They're the ones with all the power, the influence, and the authority. They're the moral compass. They'll tell you where to worship, when to worship, and how to worship. They're the religious elite. There's no way that they're blind. Their own words condemn them. If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But because you claim that you can see, your guilt remains. This is the tragedy. Through it all, through all the skepticism, through all the fear, through all the traditions that people rely upon, through all of that, this is probably the one that's the most detrimental. Your sin remains. Your sin remains. You can talk, dialogue, debate all day long. And people have for centuries. And their sin remains. It is very plausible that each of us, at some point or another, have made similar mistakes. Exhibited these mistakes in one form or another. If we should continue to deny our own sin, sin remains. Should we land on our traditions, sin will remain. Should we stay skeptical for one day too long, your sin remains. Should we reject the works of Jesus Christ to bring us reconciliation to God? Your sin remains. Today is the day for the blind to see. Today is the day judgment and skepticism needs to be turned away. Do you need to repent of your own skepticism, of your own doubt, of your own fears? Today we can end our fears and we can be like this blind man and grow in our faith, even if you're the only one. Today, would you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? And listen, make no mistake about it. Scripture speaks the truth. Let me pray with you. Father, in this place, this day, I just thank you for the opportunity we're able to gather here. Brothers and sisters that desire to hear from your word, that desire to know who you are. And so, Father, I pray that you would make our hearts pliable to receive that which you have. Our minds moldable so that we might be able to conceive and hear what you're saying to us. That we might apply it into our own lives. That we might live out that which you desire for us to live out. Expand our understanding of who you are and the love that you hold for people. And Father, can we be so bold as to say, thank you for all that you're doing within us. And may you do something through us to bring you honor and glory in the name of your Son. Amen. An offering, sir, thank you.
My booming voice. Man, Pastor, my heart was burning as you spoke. As the men prepare themselves for the offering, please, men, would you come forward? And while they are doing that, I just want to give another shout out to Andrew. Good job, Andrew. The Lord's going to bless what you're doing. May he guide you and lead you and use you in France. As we do pray for the offering, please remember Andrew and the prayer cards that are in the back. This is a given church, and this is what it's all about. Let's go to prayer. God and Father, we thank you for this message this morning. We thank you, Lord, for just using a man's infirmities to bring people to yourself. And we just thank you for this message that just reveals God's ways to us and helping a blind man see. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings to us. Thank you for your blessings in our families, in our lives. Everything that we have belongs to you. We ask, God, Father, that you would now take these offerings. I ask that you would multiply them many times over. Use them for your work. Use them for what you would do in this world. Thank you for your many blessings, Lord, and we now return it to you. In Jesus' name, amen.